Greetings in Jesus' name to all of you this morning. I'm happy to be back here, not just back from Ghana, but back from our travels. I'm going to make a little bit of a long preamble, so if you just bear with me, there's a few things I would like to say this morning. My family and I pulled back into Lancaster County late last night or yesterday evening after a month on the road, 14 states, lots of miles, and lots of God's help and blessing, which we're very grateful for. But when we were welcomed into the state of Pennsylvania as we came up I-81, we cheered. And every member of the family cheered this morning as we pulled in the driveway to our church. All of you are special to us, and we want to thank you for your role in our lives. This is my first time in the pulpit here on this furlough, so I want to take the opportunity to express our appreciation for each of you. I know we come home every 3 years and say this, but we don't take you for granted. We're grateful for the fact that you've stood behind us now for 18 or 19 or 20 years, depending on how you count it and when you start counting. And we're very grateful for your continued faithful support of our family. God bless you. A special welcome today to Mama and Virgil and to all of the relatives who've come here to see them today and all the old friends. It's overwhelming in a very special way to see so many people that I grew up with and I haven't seen for many years. And I want to thank you for being here to support Mom and Virgil. And it's just meaningful to me to see so many of you who have known us for many years. And I want to thank you for following the Lord Jesus. Your faithfulness encourages my faithfulness. And I hope that my faithfulness can encourage your faithfulness. So today is a special day. We've been following these receptions. I got to preach my mother's wedding message 3 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. 5 weeks ago. Not something that I ever anticipated doing. I've jokingly said I looked it up in the ministerial handbook and I couldn't find a page for how to preach your own mother's wedding. So since I couldn't find a page in the handbook, I just cried my way through it. But it was a special opportunity. It was a very anointed day. It was a great thing to have all 15 of my mother and Virgil's children all there to support them. And yes, we had a lovely time together. We're delighted for them. And I realize that numerous people are here today because of that occasion, and I just want to make sure you know that we appreciate your coming. We've been following those receptions. We were in Indiana 2 Sundays ago for a reception there for Virgil's people, all of the relatives and neighbors and church people that came out. That was a very large reception. And then a week later in North Carolina, where my mom's been living, and now here. And we're home for a while, so you're going to see us for the next few weeks, and we're looking forward to that. While this is a special day, we do want to look into the Word of God, and I believe that God wants to speak to our hearts. It's not just an occasion, it's also a Sunday morning, and it's my privilege to share the Word of God here this morning. First time for me in this pulpit since I'm back from Africa, and I want to thank you for that opportunity. I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 is a favorite portion of Scripture to me. Many years ago, I remember God opening my eyes to the realization that the promises that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 related all the way up to the New Testament and specifically to missions, because God is still working out the blessing of Abraham around the world. And God is still adding children of faith to our father of faith, Abraham. And so Genesis 12 has been special to me for many years, and I've preached from it many times when we preach missions from the Old Testament. We often start in Genesis chapter 12 because there are some amazing promises there. But one of the things that I love about the Word of God is that even if you've read it and meditated on it for many, many years, there are still new treasures there that you've never seen before. I have hundreds of books that I've read one time in my life. I have a couple dozen books that I've read three or four times. And yet this Word of God is the book that I've read through more times than any other book in the world. And yet I continue to find new treasures in this book. And so what I'm sharing with you this morning comes from a reading through the book of Genesis about a month ago. I'm in a speed reading Bible program right now, just trying to move as rapidly through the Word of God as I can. And I was reading Genesis chapter 12, reading through it rapidly. And honestly, it's as if God just turned a spotlight on one particular verse. And by turning the spotlight on that verse, He unlocked new things in this chapter for me that I'd like to share with you. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 9. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. If you'd like a title for this morning's message, it would be from a phrase at the very end of verse 6. The title is, And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Canaanite was then in the land. I realize that there are many portions of Scripture that we could turn to look at the faith of Abraham, or in Genesis 12, Abram. There are many portions of Scripture where we could go to look at the life of Abraham. And I realize that in various portions of Scripture, Abram has varying degrees of faith. There are times where Abraham struggles a lot believing God, and there are times where he makes mistakes, and Abram was a real man, and he didn't have a perfectly flawless record. But I'd like us to limit ourselves to Genesis chapter 12 this morning, because we can't look at all those portions of Scripture, and I'd like us to draw some encouragement to our faith by looking at the faith of Abram only in Genesis chapter 12. I know that we're familiar with this story, but I'd like to highlight for you the things that God highlighted for me. At the beginning of Genesis chapter 12, the voice of God comes to Abram and says, Abram, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your father's house. And you're going to go into a land that I will show you. I have listed as my first point here, faith listening. Faith listening. Because if you think about the things that God said to Abram, They were not the kind of average, ordinary thing like you expect to hear when you open your Bible for your morning devotions. God spoke something to Abram which was so unusual, so out of the ordinary, required such a radical obedience. I believe that Abram had a listening faith. Otherwise, I'm not sure that Abram would have even heard the voice of God. God said to Abram, I want you to leave everything. Everything which is familiar to you. Everything which makes up your comfort zone, Abram. All the relationships that you know. I want you to leave all of those relationships and those locations. And I want you to travel into a land that I'm going to show you. Faith listening. You know, I think that there are times where God speaks into our heart and asks us to obey Him. And we are aware that we are not obeying Him. I think there are times where God speaks to us something that He wants us to do and we don't obey it. But I think there are a lot of times that if we're not willing to obey, we don't even hear. So the first point I'd like to highlight this morning about Abram's faith is that he had the kind of faith that would hear, would listen, would be willing to hear God giving him a direction which meant changing his life around in every possible way. Faith listening. Faith listening. Also from verse 1, I want to highlight this. It says that God said to Abram, I want you to leave your father's house and I want you to go into a land that I will show you. God was giving Abram these radical directions, except that He wasn't actually telling him where his destination would be. God said, I want you to get up and leave everything, but I'm going to show you at a later date where you're going to go. I've thought about that over the years. I thought, wow, Abram, you got up and followed God without knowing where you were going. But as I've been meditating on this portion of Scripture over the last month, I've been thinking about what God actually said to Abram. He actually said, Abram, I'm giving you part A. I'm asking you to get up and obey my voice, leave your father's house, leave the land that you've known, and part B will follow as you obey part A. Does that make sense? Abram, I'm going to lead you into a land, and I'm going to show you that land at a later date. But part A is, I want you to get up and leave your father's house. Leave everything that you know, and go into a land that I'll show you. You know, sometimes I wish that I would know all the steps of my life, and I'm sure you're there also. We wish that when we came to Christ, we would get maybe a 30-page printout. These will be your high points. These will be your low points. These are the places you will live and minister. This is how long you're going to live. It's like, I wish I had a printout. Yes, Lord, I'll sign and follow you. But I've been thinking about that in terms of what God said to Abram, and I think that I would rather have the kind of instruction that God gave to Abram. Let's just think about this for a moment. God said to Abram, I am going to show you the land that I want you to travel in. That implies that God was going to have an ongoing relationship with Abram. And that's way superior to a printout. If I had to choose between having an ongoing relationship with God, where God says to me, son, take this step and I'll show you the next step. I promise that I will continue to guide you. That's one option. The other option is, here's the printout of everything you're going to do. I think you, like me, would say, no, I want an ongoing relationship with God. And that's what God said to Abram. I want you to leave your father's house. Yes, I'm not telling you right now what your destination is going to be, but much greater than knowing the destination, I'm telling you that you're going to have an ongoing relationship with me. I thought of the song which says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able. I don't know where I'm going. It doesn't make sense to me that I have to leave my father's house and leave my comfort zone. I don't really know how long the journey is going to be. But I have a promise of an ongoing relationship with the God who's telling me to leave my father's house, and that's superior. Amen? Amen? So just turn that around in your heart if you can this morning and say, you know, instead of saying, God, why don't I know the next steps? How about we thank Him that we have a God who promises to continue interacting with us? The very fact that we don't know the destination implies that God is going to continue to put His hand upon our lives and speak to us. God basically gave Abram a promise. You're going to have another meeting with me in the future. At least one more meeting, because I will show you the land where you're going to go. Oh, that's been a sweet nugget of truth in my heart over the last month. I don't know everything about my life, but I do know that God promises to continue guiding me. So our first point was faith listening. Abram had a faith that was willing to listen to an instruction which was way outside of the ordinary. I want you to recognize this morning that I'm not speaking to you this morning from the context of I'm asking you to leave this land or this county and go somewhere. Maybe that's what God wants you to do. But I want us to take the lesson of Abram and apply it spiritually into our lives. God is not necessarily calling you to leave this county, but the voice of God usually calls us to a type of radical obedience which leads us outside of at least one of our comfort zones. Amen? And Abram was willing to listen. I'd like to have the kind of faith that Abram had that will actually hear the radical direction that God wants to give into my life. The second point is faith leaving. God continues with His promises. He says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And Abram, in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Amazing promises. But before those amazing promises could be fulfilled, Abram needed to leave. Verse 4 says, so Abram departed. I like to think of it in this way. At the beginning of the chapter, God says, Abram, get thee out of thy country. Verse 4, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. When you're reading verses in the Bible, you need to recognize that sometimes in just a few words, an immense obedience and an immense spiritual struggle is contained within that little verse. God says to Abram, I want you to leave everything familiar to you. So Abram departed according to the word of the Lord. But Abram was a man, and there's no way that that was an easy process for Abram. Especially not knowing the destination. It's a strange thing to leave your family and your father's house, but it makes it even more bizarre that he didn't know where he was going. It wasn't a process of an afternoon for Abram to leave. He had property and relationships and people and arrangements, and traveling in those days was not as simple as throwing a suitcase in the back of a car. It took a long time to leave. And yet Abram had the faith that was willing to leave. He had faith that was able to be that he was able to sustain that faith as he said goodbye to everything. I think we have to think about what that meant for Abram. Hey guys, did you hear Abram's leaving? There he is. Abram, is it true that you're leaving? Abram, why are you leaving? Abram, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. But God told me that I'm supposed to leave. Wow. Faith leaving. It requires a special faith to be able to walk away from things which are familiar to us, especially if people around us don't understand. And God often calls us to radical obedience that people around us will not understand. Just mark that down. God often calls us to obey Him in ways which some people around us are not going to understand. But Abram sustained his faith in God and he left. There goes Abram. Where's he going? He doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't even know where he's going. Yep, he said God told him to leave. Faith leaving. The third point I have here is faith obeying, and you could put faith obeying before faith leaving. But I just want to highlight the fact that it's just such a simple thing as it's listed in Scripture. God said to Abram, I want you to go. And Abram obeyed. And would to God that in my faith walk and in your faith walk, the link between the voice of the Lord giving us instructions, whether from His Word, from someone in our life, or directly through the voice of God in our hearts, would to God that our obedience would be just that connected. And God's voice came to Daniel and said, do this. And Daniel did it. And God said to Abram, get thee out of thy father's house. And Abram departed. He just had this simple obedience that says, this is God's word, this is my obedience. I know that we know the answer to this simple question, but I think I need to highlight it. Do you think that Abram would have been able to access all the special conditions of blessing that God spoke upon his life if Abram was not willing to obey his part of the covenant that he was making with God? Do you think those blessings were just Abram's for the taking, whether he obeyed or not? No. No, Abram, this is the agreement I want to make with you. I want you to leave everything and go to a land that I'm directing you. And Abram, these are the conditions of blessing that I'm going to speak upon your life. But Abram had to obey. God, what conditions of blessing are waiting because I'm not obeying? What do you want to pour out upon my life? And I'm holding off those blessings because I'm not ready to step out and obey. It's an amazing thing. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you children more than the sand by the seashore. But, oh yes, you're going to have to obey and leave everything. Faith obeying. Faith traveling is point number four. We first had faith listening, faith leaving. Point number three, faith obeying. And point number four, faith traveling. It says that Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Once again, we have a very short portion of Scripture that describes what is very obviously a very involved test of Abram's faith. Just let me read it to you again. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. That's like saying, and in 2012, we decided to build a house, and we moved into the house at the end of 2012. Well, there's a tremendous amount of work implied in that statement. We decided to build a house, and in December we moved into it. Well, they went out of the land of Haran, and into the land of Canaan they came. But that's a journey, especially in those days it was a journey. This is not getting in a car. This is walking. This is not just walking by yourself. This is walking with people and animals and property and trying to find food and trying to find water and disputes about where your animals walked and trying to make agreements for every road that you walk on and the various kings and tribes and lands that you pass through. This was a very involved journey. But Abram made this journey in faith. Faith traveling. So I've been thinking about that in my life. You know, it takes a special kind of faith to walk away from everything that you've known. That's a special kind of faith. But in some ways, that's the moment of heroic faith. The faith that can travel. The faith that can walk with God and believe God behind 1,000 cows and 500 camels and squabbles and land disputes and looking for water and all the challenges of that journey. That's a traveling faith. Maybe you're traveling right now. Maybe you are somewhere in between, this is what God asked me to do, and this is where I'm finally going to end up. This is going to be the destination of blessing that God promised to me. But somewhere in between there, we need to sustain a faith that can travel. I think it's William Carey that I'm quoting. William Carey was on a houseboat in India for 1 month, going up one of the rivers to a new mission station. And William Carey said, spending a month on a houseboat with 4 young children is not conducive to walking in the Spirit. In other words, There were a lot of tests to William Carey's faith. You imagine it. You're on a houseboat, just a little boat. You got to watch the children at the rails, and they're all tied up, and they can't travel. I thought about that because I just spent a month in a motorhome, which is kind of about the same as a houseboat. And it requires a special grace because you trip over people everywhere you walk. Last night, Abigail said to me, "Papa, it's been 2 hours. Nobody has stepped on my feet. We must be home." Yeah. Faith traveling. I realize our journey in a motorhome or on a houseboat is different from Abram's journey, but we can understand the fact that in between that moment of heroic faith where we say goodbye to everything we've known and before we enter into the wonderful promised land and look around and say, "Wow, this is where you were sending me," in between those two is a journey, whether a day or a year or sometimes decades of traveling into the will of God for my life. And we want to be able to hold on to faith like Abram did. Not just faith to leave. Faith to travel. And to deal with the issues of the journey. And all the challenges, the daily challenges. And still maintain your faith and keep traveling on. Keep journeying in faith. Keep the caravan moving. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're in a traveling period in between God's command and before you see the fulfillment of what God's promising to you. Abram's faith stands as an example for us. A traveling faith. Into the land of Canaan they came. It's shortened for us, but there's a lot of stories behind it. Verse 6 says, "Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land." We'll come back to that phrase. I mentioned that as my title. Verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." So finally, through the journey, through the difficulties, finding water, finding food, saying goodbye, finally they arrive in the land. And Abram doesn't know where he's going, so his commitment to God is, "I'm going to keep journeying forward in faith, in the direction that you told me to go, and I'm trusting you that you're going to show up again and you're going to tell me when I arrive at where you want me to stay." Amen? Maybe that's where you're at in your life. "Lord, this is what you told me to do. This is where you told me to invest my life. This is what you told me to do with my family. This is the church where you've placed me. And Lord, I'm just going to continue in faith and keep going forward. But please, Lord, show up and direct me when it's time for the next step." And the Lord appears to Abram. It's like, wow, he said he would show me. And there he is again. There's God. There's the ongoing relationship that God had promised to Abram. And there's God. God says, "Abram, I'm going to talk again. This is the land. Look around you, Abram. I'm giving this land to your seed. I'm giving this land to your seed." Abram was 75. I don't know how long it took to travel down. I don't know if they camped for long periods. Did they have to travel with the rains and the pastures? Or did they just walk it in one long journey? I don't know. But he's an old man, whichever way you cut it. Here's an old man standing in the land of Canaan. And God says, "Abram, I'm going to give this land to your seed." I think if God made that kind of a promise to me, I would have a lot of questions in reply. I would have a lot of doubts and wonderings. I would want to seek clarification on several important points. And I know that there were moments that Abram doubted and struggled. I don't need you to remind me of that. We've read those portions of Scripture. But when you look at Genesis 12, the next step for Abram was not to say, "My seed? I'm an old man." The next step for Abram's walk with God was to build. And so I have as the fifth point, faith building. Not building your faith, but using your faith to build. Faith building. And Abram builded an altar. There builded he an altar unto the Lord. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the context for Abram's faith. Just before it says, "And the Canaanite was then in the land." That tells me that the land that God promised to Abram was not an empty wasteland. It was not sort of like the great land expansion that occurred when the American government said, anyone who gets into Kansas and stakes out an acreage and puts a house on it can have it. This was not empty land. The Canaanite was then in the land. And God spoke to Abram and said, even though the Canaanite is in the land, and even though you're an old man, and even though you have no children, my promise is that this land is given to your seed. And Abram builded an altar there unto the Lord. Faith building. What is an altar? What is the significance of an altar? The significance of an altar is that Abram was relating to God based upon the Word of God, based upon the promises of God. God said, Abram, I'm giving this land to your sons. I'm giving this land to your children. And Abram's first reaction, his first outworking of hearing the voice of the Lord was not to question. His first outworking was to say, let me build an altar, a place where I can worship God and agree with the words of promise that God has just spoken into my life. And he built there an altar. Where did he build the altar? In Canaan. Who built the altar? An old childless man. Who was in the land around Abram when he built that altar? Canaanites. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And that is the place where Abram built an altar. That is the context in which Abram had faith to say, God, even though it doesn't make sense to me, I will build an altar here to signify that I agree with you. I will worship you and believe you based upon your promises to me. You know, and that's the phrase that God shone the light on in my heart. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, there are promises in my life which I haven't yet seen fulfilled. There are visions that I have that I don't know how they're going to be fulfilled. There are difficulties, whether physical or spiritual, that seem to stand in the way of you fulfilling those promises. But none of them are as difficult as what stood in front of Abram. I just have to be honest with myself. I think some of my challenges are great, but they're nothing compared to Abram, an old man with no children, saying to God, I accept that this land is for my children, even though it's filled with Canaanites, and I'm an old man, and I have no children. The difficulties that stand in between me and the fulfillment of God's promises in my life are not that great. Maybe yours aren't either. If they're not, we need to be able to take encouragement from the example of Abram and say, if Abram could accept God's promises as an old man with no son surrounded by Canaanites, I too can believe God's word into my life and build an altar. Abram didn't hear what God said and say, that's impossible, that could never be. He said, no, let me build an altar to remember the things that you promised me right here. And there builded he an altar. It says he moved from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. He pitched his tent there, and what did he do there? He builded another altar unto the Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. My sixth point is faith worshiping. An altar is a place of sacrifice at times. An altar is also a place of worship. An altar is sometimes significant of a covenant made between God and man. And Abram went on towards the south building altars. Where was he building the altars? He was building the altars in the land of Canaan. And it was so called because it was the land of the Canaanites. And I think we know something about the Canaanites. These are the same Canaanites that the children of Israel encountered hundreds of years later. The Hivites and the Jebusites and all those other ites. Warlike people with great cities that scared the 10 of the spies that went into the land of Canaan. These were the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were then in the land. They were there. And Abram journeys on, going on towards the south. I'm going to pitch my tent here, and I'm going to build an altar and worship God in the land of Canaan. I thought of Psalms 23, Thou preparest a table before me, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Canaanites were then in the land. And here is this old man with no children, journeying through the land that God had promised to him, and everywhere he stops, he builds an altar. He says, Lord, you promised me that this land is for my children. And Lord, I believe your promise. We're going to journey on to another part of the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites are. Lord, we're going to build another altar here. Lord, I accept your word. I accept your promise that this land is for my children. Faith worshiping. Somehow, I never got the context for Abram's faith that I've seen in the last month as I've meditated on this. It's one thing to believe God when things are going well. It's one thing to believe God when the people around you are encouraging and supporting your faith. But the context for this stellar faith of the man Abram, the context was not a whole bunch of people encouraging his faith. The context was a solitary old man with no children, surrounded by Canaanites, and still laying hold of the promise of God, and building altars, and worshiping. I do want us to turn to one portion of Scripture in the New Testament. That's in the book of Romans and chapter 4. I think we've clearly established that Abram was a man of faith. Romans chapter 4 gives us a little bit of insight into the type of faith that Abram had. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. A God who calls the things that are not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. We've established that Abram was a man of faith. What kind of faith did Abram have? Just quickly from this portion of Scripture, Abram had the kind of faith that could hope against hope. Hope against hope means being able to maintain your faith when all of the surrounding circumstances argue against that faith. Hoping against hope. Abram hoped against hope. That was the kind of faith he had. Scripture tells us that his faith was not a weak faith. And sometimes, especially in an Eastern writing style, we have this, it was not weak. And that's meant to convey that it was very strong. I think we agree with that. Abram's faith was not weak. It was definitely not weak. This means it was a very strong faith. Another element or dimension of Abram's faith is that it was a faith that doesn't spend time considering the impossibilities. It says, he considered not. Because if Abram had stood there and thought, well, how old am I and how old is my wife and how long will it take for my children to multiply to a level that we can take over the Canaanites, he wouldn't have believed. But the Bible says he considered not. He didn't stop to think about the impossibilities that stood in between the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise. It was a faith that doesn't consider the impossibilities. It was an unstaggered faith. It was not a faith that staggered and pulled back. Here he is in the land of Canaan. Here is God's promise in Abram's life. And Abram just lays hold of that promise and builds an altar. It was not a staggering faith. It was a faith that did not stagger. It was also a worshiping faith. He went on giving glory to God. That has challenged me deeply over the course of this last month. He was able, in the midst of that hoping against hope, in the midst of the Canaanites, in the midst of physical circumstances which argued every day against the fulfillment of God's promise, Abram worshipped. Wow. What kind of faith did Abram have? A worshiping faith. A faith that could worship surrounded by Canaanites. Lastly, what kind of faith did he have? He had a fully persuaded faith. Fully persuaded. Not just a little bit of my mind, all of my heart, all of my mind, fully persuaded. I'm absolutely certain that God can fulfill His Word. That's the kind of faith that Abram had. That's the faith of Abram. What kind of a God did Abraham put his faith in? From these same verses, what kind of a God? Look at verse 17. Before him whom he believed, even God. Which kind of God? Oh, God who quickeneth the dead. Let me tell you just a little bit about the character of the God that Abram believed in, which is our God. A God who quickeneth the dead. Also, a God who calleth those things which are not as though they were. That's the God that Abram put his faith in. A God who quickens the dead. And a God who speaks about things that aren't there as if they were there. What kind of a God? A God who fulfills His promise. Being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. You know, we're kind of moving in America away from checks. But back in the day, checks were a very valuable part of business in America. And when you wrote a check, sometimes people, if they didn't know you, they would want some kind of a reference to know whether you were, in those days we would say, good for that check. Because if you wrote a check that seemed to be a large amount and the person didn't know you, they would say, is this individual good for this check? That means, does this individual have the amount of money in the bank to pay up the full amount of this check? If you got a $100 check from me today, I think you would believe it. I hope if you got a $100,000 check from me today, you would know that I was just joking. Because I promise you, I'm not good for that check. You know, when we were children, we used to write cards to each other. This is payable to, and then we'd write the person who was having a birthday, $1 million, just the largest number we could imagine. We were just trying to express affection, but we weren't good for those checks. Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God was good for his promises. I'd like to say to us this morning, based on this portion of Scripture, God is good for every check that he writes. For every promise that is in God's Word to us as believers, for every promise that God has spoken into your heart personally, He's good for those promises. There's no risk that you'll finally come to the moment where you need to draw on that promise of God and it will bounce. There's no chance of that. He's good for all of His promises. He is able to perform. That's the kind of God that Abraham believed in. Back to Genesis chapter 12. I want us to apply this to our lives. I'm not suggesting this morning that all of you are going to leave Lancaster County or wherever you traveled from to be here today. I am suggesting that we all need to have a faith that listens to the direction of God in our lives. I also believe that there are many of us here today that have heard God's direction and need to obey it. I also believe that there are many of us today who are in the journey from where God called us out from, and we're not quite sure what the destination, whether geographically or spiritually, we're not quite sure when the vision is going to be fulfilled. We need a faith that can journey, a faith that can travel and deal with the everyday realities of obedience to Christ without losing our faith. I also believe that many of us today need to be challenged, especially myself, we need to be challenged by the faith of Abram to be able to sustain our faith in God, a God who speaks about things that are not as if they already were, we need to be challenged to maintain our faith, even though there are things around us which make it look like that promise of God will never be fulfilled. That vision that God has laid out is never going to come to fruition. That's hoping against hope. I said to you, the challenges in my life are not as great as the challenges to Abram's faith. I think for many of us that's true. If Abram was able to lay hold of faith and hold on to God and believe God's promises with the seemingly impossible set of circumstances around him, you and I can also, by the grace of God, believe him and believe his promise and hold on. What's the context for Abram's faith? Yes, his faith was an amazing faith, but it grows even more amazing when you think about the context. You know, Abram lived for decades in the land of Canaan. And the land was still filled with Canaanites. He lived for decades in the promised land, going from place to place, living in a tent, making altars to worship God and believe God's word everywhere he went in the land of Canaan. But Abram got no cities during his lifetime. Those cities remained firmly in the hands of the Canaanites. When Abram's wife died, he had to purchase a piece of his own land from the Canaanites in order to bury his wife. And yet Abram sustained that faith in God surrounded by Canaanites. I don't know what your Canaanites are. Sometimes I am my own Canaanite. Sometimes my flesh is the thing that seems to mock the promises of God in my life. I think, no, I don't think that can happen in my life. I don't think that kind of victory is possible for me. Do you know there are days where I spend time in worship, I spend time with God, and I soar up there in worship and my faith is strong, and then I walk out of my closet, wherever that is, and within just moments, my faith is dropping. Why? Because as soon as I stepped out of my time with the Lord, I started tripping over Canaanites. Especially myself. I'm going to keep saying that. I want you to think about that. Abram worshipped God, built altars to God in the promised land surrounded by Canaanites. Everywhere he went, he continued to believe the promises of God. But at every turn, there were the Canaanites. He argued with them over water. They would chase him away from a well. He would go over to another place and drill another well in his promised land, chased by the Canaanites. He had so many difficulties in those decades that he spent in the land of Canaan. Everywhere he turned, there were Canaanites. And so in your life and my life, there are things which seem to mock the promise of God. They seem to stand there and laugh at the fulfillment of the vision that God has put into your life. Maybe for your family. Maybe for your own personal life. Maybe for some ministry that you're involved in. And today I want us to draw a challenge and an encouragement from the life of Abram. This is the picture I have in my mind. An old man with no children, building an altar, and standing there and worshiping God, saying, God, I agree with your word. I accept your promise. I covenant with you based upon your promise. I consider not how old I am. I consider not that I have no children. I consider not the Canaanites who even now are watching me and wondering what I'm doing. I'm doing business with you, God, based upon your promise in my life. And Scripture says he gave glory to God. He worshipped. And then there were the Canaanites. Every day more Canaanites. Oh God, for a faith that can continue to hang on to your promises even when I'm tripping over Canaanites. Oh, for a faith that is able to continue to worship you even when I'm surrounded by circumstances which seem to go against the fulfillment of God's promise in my life. Does that make sense to you? What is God's promise to you? Don't run away from God's direction in your life or His promises in your life because you're afraid that you can't or God can't fulfill those promises. What is God saying to you? What promises is He making to you from His Word? From His voice speaking into your heart? What are His promises to you? What obedience is standing between you and the fulfillment of that promise? Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. But first you have to leave. What obedience is God asking of you? Are you traveling? You spend all your days walking behind 1,000 cows. Not exactly a lovely journey. Settling disputes, finding water, looking for food, trying to keep the whole group together, running after strays. That was the reality of Abram's faith walk into the great land of Canaan. Well, you're also on your way to the great land of Canaan, but maybe it feels like every day you're just dealing with the practical challenges of keeping 1,000 cows and a bunch of people and water and food together. Take a challenge from Abram. Let's have a faith that can travel. Moms, a lot of practical challenges in being a mother, aren't there? Don't lose sight of the promise of God for your family. It's a travel. It's a journey. It's a lot of work. Dads, there's a lot of challenges in being a father. We can't lose sight of God's promise for us. In fact, surrounded by all those challenges, the challenge of Abram to us is build an altar and worship. This is not academic to me. This is real. For the last month, God just keeps reminding me of this every day. Daniel, I want you to worship. Surrounded by challenges. Surrounded by things that seem to mock the fulfillment of my word in your life. Worship me. Wow. I want you to build an altar, Daniel, and worship. I want to challenge God's people this week to build altars and worship. Even if you're surrounded by Canaanites. Even if you seem to trip over them everywhere you go. Every day you're reminded of more things that argue against the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. Abram stands as an example to you and I. I'm going to worship God based on His promise. I'm not going to consider those things which argue against the fulfillment of God's promise in my life. And the reason is because I'm worshiping a God who speaks about things that are not as though they were. When God said, Abram, I'm going to give this land to your seed. That God who speaks about things that are not as though they were. That God saw 1 million Israelites coming across the Jordan River. He saw the walls of Jericho falling. He saw the Canaanites running. Or He didn't. Of course He did. He speaks about things that are not as though they were. And God said, Abram, I'm giving this land to your seed. God always has that far away look in His eye because He sees those things that you and I don't see, and we stand there sputtering around, staggering because it doesn't look possible. Oh, there stands Abram. God, I worship You based upon Your word to me. I build an altar to remember Your word and to worship You based upon Your promise. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Do you have some Canaanites? What are your Canaanites? Think about them. You don't need to tell me what they are. But think about your Canaanites. And this morning, take encouragement from the life of Abram. I too can worship God. I can depend upon His promises. I can step out in faith and obey Him. I can live a life of journeying faith. I can get to the land of Canaan and look around and for decades continue to say, God, this is my land. You promised this land to me. Even though my everyday interactions are with Canaanites. Do you have things that God promised you that haven't yet been fulfilled? Worship Him in the presence of those Canaanites. Don't lose sight of God's promise just because you tripped over a Canaanite this morning. Don't lose sight of the fact that God's going to continue being with you even though today all you're doing is dealing with the practical challenges of following 1,000 cows in a semi-arid place. Faith. Faith like Abram. Abram believed that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And on the authority of God's word to you this morning, I tell you, he is able to fulfill all of his promises. In Jesus, his promises are yea and amen. They are fulfilled. He makes good on his promises. Hold on in faith and worship, even though the Canaanite is then in the land. Let's pray. Father, we confess before you this morning that there are promises you've made to us that we've turned away from because we didn't want to obey the conditionalities. I confess to you this morning, Lord, that as your people, there are times where we're so caught up in the challenges of obedience that we hardly hear the great promises. Help us to obey. Lord, we acknowledge this morning that for some of us, our daily grind of journeying towards the land of Canaan is so all-encompassing that we sometimes forget that we're traveling based upon your direction and that you're going to meet us at the other end and you're going to fulfill your promises in our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, the promised land that you're giving to us is sometimes filled with Canaanites. Lord, we want to believe you. We want to hold on. We want to know you, the fulfillment of your promises in our lives. And Lord, we want to worship you. Even though the Canaanites are there, wondering, looking, taking up the land that you've promised to us. Lord, give your people a faith that can worship you based upon your promise, considering not all the things which argue against that fulfillment. Father, we love your word and we thank you for it. Lord, we love your people and we pray that you would encourage them from your word this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.